Fury. "They might have flown in here," Six says, "but they sure as shit won't be flying out." I look down at Five. His shaky hands have retrieved those two balls from his pockets once again, not exactly confidence-inspiring. I glance over at Sarah and see her taking aim and hitting a Mogadorian that was trying to creep up on us. Not long ago, this is the kind of fight we would have run from, happy to just escape with our lives. Now, though, I feel like it's a fight we can actually win. I lock eyes with Six. "Let's send Cetricus Ra a message. If he wants to get one of ours, he's going to need to send more than one ship."
"Hell yeah,"
answers Six and raises both her hands to the sky. The dark clouds around the Mogadorian ship begin to roil and swirl. Three bolts of lightning slice through the tumultuous sky, striking the side of the ship in rapid succession. I can see pieces of the metal hull breaking loose and careening to the ground below. Probably realizing that they're in trouble, the Mogs try to gain some altitude and get away from the localized storm. The Mogs already on the ground redouble their efforts to get to us, blaster fire sizzling through the air. I inch closer to Six so that my shield will deflect any stray shots that come her way. Sarah stays hunkered down behind the car, firing blindly over the hood. "You need to hurry up," I shout at Six through gritted teeth.
"Almost there,"
she snaps, her face tight with concentration. Hailstones the size of fists buffet the ship, causing it to shake erratically. Just when it seems like it might be able to pull upwards, Six twists her hands over her head. The clouds suddenly coalesce. I can feel the force of the winds from back here. A tornado gathering right beneath the ship. The ship lurches and then tips sideways, its pilots losing control. The ship plummets to the ground, landing with a thunderous crash in the woods by the highway. Seconds later, a tower of flame shoots into the night sky, followed by a thunderous explosion. Then, everything is quiet. The storm overhead clears, and the night is peaceful once again.
"Wow,"
murmurs Five. "Nice work," I tell Six. Her eyes have already moved to her next targets. We might have taken down their ship, but there are still plenty of Mogadorians approaching. A couple dozen at least. Blasters and swords at the ready.
"Let's finish them off,"
Six says, turning invisible. I'm eager to jump into the fight. First, I look down at number Five. He's peeking at the incoming Mogadorians uncertainly. "It's okay if you're not ready for this," I tell him. "Hang back." Five nods mutely. I step out from behind what's left of the Boggy Creek monster statue. Immediately, there's a Mogadorian leveling his blaster at me. Before he can shoot, something hits him in the back of the knees from behind. The sword he carries strapped across his shoulder is unsheathed by invisible hands and plunged through his spine. He disintegrates, and, briefly, through the cloud of ash, I can make out Six's silhouette. I run to where Sarah is still crouched behind a parked car. The side that faced the Mogadorians is melted in spots, but Sarah appears unharmed. As soon as I slide to the ground beside her, Bernie Kosar sprouts wings and takes off, hurling himself at a pair of Mogs. The remaining Mogadorians look almost confused. Their ship destroyed, half their number already killed. I doubt they were expecting a fight like this. Good. Let them be the scared ones for once. "You okay?" I ask Sarah.
"Yeah,"
she replies breathlessly. She holds up her gun.
"I'm out."
I reach out with my telekinesis and reel in one of the discarded Mogadorian blasters. Sarah plucks it out of the air.
"Cover me,"
I tell her. "We're finishing this." I stride out from behind the car, practically daring the Mogadorians to come at me. A pair hunkered down in front of the gas station fire at me. My shield deploys immediately, absorbing their shots. I think about hurling a fireball at them, but I don't want to blow up the gas station. We've already damaged poor Falk, Arkansas enough. I use my telekinesis to grab their blasters, smashing them to the ground. Then I raise my hand to the Moogs and motion for them to come on. They grin, their tiny teeth gleaming in the moonlight, and unsheath their swords. They sprint towards me. As soon as they're a safe distance from the gas station, I launch a fireball that engulfs them both. Idiots. Another group of Moogs has regrouped enough to make a focused assault. They charge me all at once, trying to surround me. Before they can close in, I feel something rubbery wrap itself tightly around my waist, and I'm yanked backwards, away from the incoming Moogs. Startled, I look down. An arm is coiled around me. A really long, stretched-out arm. As soon as I'm clear, Sarah starts lighting up the group of Moogs with blaster fire. I look back down in time to see Five's arm coil back to its normal shape and return to his T-shirt. He looks at me sheepishly.
"Sorry if I interrupted," he says. "Thought you might get pinned down."
"What did you just do?" I ask, both curious and a little grossed out.
"My Sapon called it Externa," Five explains.
He holds up the rubber ball that he's been fondling since we showed up.
"It's one of my legacies. I can take on the qualities of whatever I'm touching."
"Nice," I reply. Maybe the new guy isn't so useless after all. One of the Mogadorians manages to skirt Sarah's blaster fire and charge us. Five steps in front of me. His skin suddenly gleams in the moonlight, shiny and silver. I remember the other ball he was carrying, a steel ball bearing. The Moog swings his sword at Five in an arc that should cleave right into his forehead, but with a resounding clang, the sword bounces off Five's head. The Moog is stunned as Five winds up, delivering a massive haymaker, his steel-coated hand crushing the Moog's skull. Five looks back at me.
"Never, actually tried that before."
He starts laughing, relieved. "Seriously?" I can't help but laugh, too. Five's nervous energy contagious. "What if it hadn't worked?" Five just shrugs, rubbing the spot on his forehead where the Moog's sword made contact. We turn to watch a pair of Mogadorians fleeing towards the woods, Bernie Kosar snarling at their heels. Before they reach the tree line, Six appears in front of them. She slashes through them both with her borrowed Mogadorian sword. I look around. The area is clear. The Monster Mart and its surroundings are pockmarked from blaster fire, and there's still a plume of smoke curling from the woods. Besides the dark patches on the ground, where the dead Mogadorians turn to ash, there is no sign of our attackers. We wipe them out. Sarah walks over to us, the Moog blaster propped up on her shoulder.
"Is that it?"
"I think so," I say, keeping my voice level. I feel like fist-pumping and high-fiving, but want to keep it cool. For once, I think we caught them by surprise.
"Is it always this easy?" Five asks.
"No," I tell him. "Now that we're all together, though..." I trail off, not wanting to jinx it. That fight couldn't have gone much better. Granted, it was only one ship worth of Mogadorians. They've got entire armies stationed in West Virginia and elsewhere, not to mention Cetricus Ra. Even so, we mowed them down in record time, and I don't think any of us suffered an injury. Yesterday, when Nine was all gung-ho for storming West Virginia and seeking out a rematch with Cetricus Ra, I tried to get across, and I didn't think we were ready for that. Now, after this performance, maybe it's time to reconsider our odds. "Where's Six?" I ask, glancing around. Someone must have heard that ship crash, We need to get out of here before the cops show. As if in answer, a low rumble comes from the tree line, from the direction where the Mogadorian ship fell. I shine my lumen that way, just in time to see Six sprinting towards us, waving her arms.
Incoming! She shouts. What's incoming?
Five asks, swallowing. Sounds like piking, I reply. There's a sharp, breaking noise. The sound of a tree being uprooted and snapped. Something huge is coming this way. I put my hand on Sarah's shoulder.
Get back, I tell her. You need to stay behind us.
She looks at me, her grip tight on the Mogadorian blaster. For a moment I'm worried she's going to argue, even though she knows fighting a Piken is way different than being in a firefight with Mogs. Shooting from behind cover is one thing. Going toe-to-toe with a monster that thinks blaster fire tickles? That's something else entirely. Sarah touches my hand, lets her fingers linger for just a moment, and then breaks away, running for cover near the post office.
What the hell is that?
Asks Five, still standing next to me, now pointing towards the tree line. We both see the monster at the same time, as it bursts from the trees, bearing down on Six. But I don't answer Five. I actually can't answer, because whatever this thing is, I don't have a name for it. It's like a centipede, the size of a tanker truck, its worm-like body covered in cracked and leathery skin. Hundreds of tiny, gnarled arms extend from its body, churning up earth as it rumbles forward with surprising quickness. At the front is a face sort of reminiscent of a pit bull, flat, with a wet snout, and a slavering mouth that opens upon rows of jagged teeth. In the center of its face is a single, unblinking eye, bloodshot and full of malice. I remember the horde of creatures the Mogs had caged in West Virginia. As nasty beasts go, this guy would be at the top of my list. Fast as Six is, she isn't faster than this thing. The centipede draws even with her and then jerks sideways. Its back half, the tail, pivots upwards. The bulk of it towering over Six for a moment before crashing down. Six throws herself to the side just in time to avoid being crushed. Chunks of ground spray out from where the tail landed and made a huge indentation in the ground. Six is quickly back on her feet, driving her sword into the centipede's body. It hardly seems to notice, its twisting body recoiling with enough speed to jerk the sword out of Six's hands. Five asks, taking a step back. My mind races for an answer. What advantages do we have over this one-eyed worm thing? It's fast, but bulky and confined to the ground.
You can fly, right? I ask Five. How do you know that?
He asks, his eyes locked on the beast.
Yeah, I can.
Pick me up, I tell him. We need to stay above this thing. As the centipede rounds on Six again, I see Bernie Kosar leap onto its back. He's back in panther form, digging his claws deep through the monster's hide. With an annoyed squeal, the centipede rolls through the dirt, forcing BK to jump off or be crushed beneath its bulk. The distraction is enough for Six to create some distance between her and the beast. She turns invisible.
It'll be easier if you're on my back,
Five says, kneeling down in front of me. I'd feel goofy hopping on Five's back, piggyback style, if it wasn't a life-or-death situation. As soon as I'm on, Five shoots into the air. It isn't like the shaky levitation we can all manage using our telekinesis. He's fast, precise, in control. Five gets us about 30 feet in the air, right above the centipede. I start bombarding the creature with fireballs, tossing them down as fast as I can generate them. Charred sores open up on its back, a horrible stink rising up in the air.
Disgusting, mutters Five.
The centipede roars in pain, coiling in on itself. Its huge eye sweeps frantically across the battlefield. Its tiny brain can't really register where the pain is coming from. I keep up the assault, hoping I can kill this thing from above before it even knows what's happening. My next fireball flies wide of the beast as Five dips suddenly towards the ground. Jostled, I grab onto the back of his shirt until he's flying straight again. His shirt is soaked through with sweat.
You all right?
I ask, shouting to be heard over the rushing wind and the howling centipede.
Not easy carrying around a flamethrower,
he yells back, trying to joke, but his voice sounds strained.
Just another minute. Hang in there.
The centipede's eye rolls back in its head and up, spotting us. It roars again, this time almost gleefully, and then its body lances upwards, all its tiny arms grasping at the air. Its hideous face shoots towards us, teeth gnashing. Five screams, and we zip backwards in the air, the beast swallowing empty space where we used to be. The sudden change in direction throws me off Five's back, my hand clutching a ripped piece of his t-shirt. I'm falling. I'm able to push against the ground enough with my telekinesis to somewhat cushion my landing. If not for that, I probably would have broken a leg hitting the ground. Still, the wind is knocked out of me. And to make matters worse, I hit the ground right in front of the beast. Distantly, I can hear Six and Sarah shouting at me to run. It's too late for that. The centipede is just 40 yards away, rumbling towards me. Its mouth is wide open, a foul stench emanating from the darkness of its gullet. I brace myself and ignite my lumen all over my body. If this thing wants to make a meal out of me, I'm going to make sure I burn going down. As long as I can jump past those rows of teeth, I can probably burn my way right through the thing. Getting swallowed by a Mogadorian centipede isn't my best plan, admittedly, but in the seconds I have before it's right on top of me, it's the best I can come up with. As it gets closer, I see a red dot reflected in the centipede's eye, like the beam from a laser pointer. Where is that coming from? A single gunshot explodes from somewhere behind me. The monster's eye explodes. It's just a few yards from me, and I'm splashed with foul-smelling eye goop. It shrieks and rears up, forgetting all about me. I use the opportunity to backpedal, lobbing fireballs at the creature's underbelly as I go. The beast starts convulsing, its tail thrashing with enough force to make the ground under my feet shake. After one last massive spasm, the centipede collapses into the dirt and begins to slowly disintegrate. Five lands next to me, both of his hands on top of his head.
Dude, I am so sorry I dropped you.
Don't worry about it, I reply distractedly, pushing him aside and spinning towards the monster mart. No one with us was packing a sniper rifle. Where did the shot come from? Six and Sarah rush towards a tall, middle-aged man with a beard as he climbs down from the top of a beat-up old car. He's holding a rifle with a laser scope. At first, I think maybe he's just a good Samaritan. Who wouldn't shoot a giant worm creature if it was rampaging through their neighborhood? Then again, there's something about him that seems really familiar. And then I notice someone else standing next to the car. He's helping the older man down from his sniper's position. When Six gets near, she almost tackles him with a hug. My jaw drops, and I immediately break into a run. It's Sam.
Chapter 14. Six hugs me so hard that I almost fall over. Her arms are wrapped around my neck, and my hands are splayed across her back. The back of her shirt is sweaty from the battle the guard just fought, but I don't mind that at all. I'm more focused on the way her blonde